Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul's writing the church in Philippi, and he comes to a part that is very, very unique and very incredibly well stated in what he was trying to procure here through words into the hearts of people that were not struggling with their faith, but wanting to serve in the proper way. Have you ever stopped to think in your own life? Have you ever just sat down and said to the Lord, I just want to serve you, but maybe even taking it a little further, I want to serve you, but I want to serve properly. I don't want to serve what I think is right. I want to serve what you think is right. And that's what he was trying to encourage people, because prior to these verses, and I'm not going to read it at this point, but prior to these verses, what led into these verses was him saying that everything that he had learned up to this point in his life, he counted as dung, as loss. It wasn't even worth talking about, in other words. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, because all he wanted to do was to be part of Jesus Christ and to partake not only in the death, but also the resurrection. To be able to be part of all that Jesus is. And spiritually, what he's saying is that I want to put myself aside. I don't want to live anymore as Paul, the great person that sat at Gamaliel's feet and learned from this great wise teacher. I don't want to come from a wealthy family. I don't want to have all this prestige. I don't want to have this reputation as somebody that I was once known as Saul. I've become Paul, but not only has my name changed, so is how I see working in God's kingdom. I want to be part of what Jesus is fully and wholeheartedly. In other words, I want to die to self and I want to come forth in the resurrection in life in Jesus Christ. A Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 model is what it's really stating there. But in his words, I no longer live, but yet it's Christ who lives through me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. And so what we have to understand is that to have these words I'm going to read here in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained this. So in other words, what did he not obtain yet? What I just told you. He had not got there yet. It's something you just don't all of a sudden switch on, because we have a flesh that loves to wrestle and loves to shake up the ugly head that it is and cause us to stumble or have thoughts or words that we shouldn't say or think or have actions that would not give glory to Jesus Christ or to God's kingdom. So not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love this statement, straining forward. I don't know how many times people, when they start to get into a difficult situation because they feel they want to accomplish something, and the littlest pressure from failure or the pressure from other people, they want to step back. They don't want to at all strain forward. They don't want to press. They don't want to move forward to make what Jesus Christ had given them their own. They want to all of a sudden be in a place of complacency. A place of, this is as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to go any further. You know, I am a Christian, you know, and I do have eternal life, but I'm really not going to press on to what's more. I'm just going to hold on to what little I have, thinking this is all I can do. But not Paul. He was straining forward. He was moving forward, pressing towards the goal. Each and every one of us have a goal in here. We have a goal when we become a Christian. We have a goal to be a better person. We have a goal to live a moral and just life. We have a goal to pray. We have a goal to read God's word. We have a goal to study the word. We have a goal to tell others about Jesus. That doesn't make someone a superhero. It just simply designs a lifestyle that we have when we became Christians. We want to do what Jesus did. We want to go out and tell everybody about the love of the Father, the forgiveness of sin, the reconciliation that was provided by Calvary's cross, and also the resurrection of Jesus back from the dead, alive forevermore. There's this opportunity that's given us to be able to become more like Him. We never found anywhere in the Bible, if you study it, Jesus sitting there doing nothing. He never sat around and said, you know what, I really don't have anything to say about salvation today. I just really like to just hang out here and eat and laugh. He's always doing something. Eating and laughing is a great thing. Christians have made a great life of that. But what we really need to do is make a great life of straining forward. Just think for a moment, if everyone you knew that was in the body of Christ, if they would all be straining forward, as much as they strain forward to process their own personal goals that they want for themselves. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that, but there should be a balance. There should be something that, you know, people want nice things in life. They work hard for that. That's good. That's not bad. But when you put God aside and you work much harder for what you want and less for what He wants in you to do, that's the difficulty. That's where we have to get a balance, and that's where it takes this great word, determination. The entitlement of this message is called Be Determined. Determination means strength of mind. It means having a willpower. It means having resolve. It means having purpose. It means having fortitude. It means having strength of character. These are synonyms and that we have that where we can go ahead and understand that what they are, we can apply. And then there's also this firmness of purpose that we have through determination. We are firmed up that we're going to process this. We're going to make it. No one's going to get in my way to stop me from doing what I know God has called me to do. That's confidence. That's the ability to say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to hurt anybody by doing this. I'm not going to be rude to people. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to be firm in my belief that this is what God is. And I have a fixed purpose in my Christianity. You know, I know that you've probably seen this yourself. It doesn't take a pastor to see this, but where you meet people that they don't have a fixed purpose in their Christianity. They don't really know why they're a Christian. They figured getting to be a Christian meant you had to go to church and you had to pray and you had to give money. And once in a while you'd go to the altar so you wouldn't look funny for never going to the altar. You know, I don't know. I'm just being facetious, but there's a purpose that why we are born again, and that is to become more like Christ. The Bible is very clear about us being transformed into the image of Christ. In other words, coming from what we were and becoming what He is spiritually. But it takes us to strain forward. You know, we have to have that press. We have to build on a relationship that Jesus has already built on. So it's not like we're building on His relationship. He has built the relationship. He's wanting us to become part of that relationship. He's wanting us to build on the foundation of His word. You know, we could do the Matthew 7, 24 through 28 scenario. Those who built on sand, when the storm came, there was nothing left. Those who built on the sure foundation of who He is, the word, when it was all over, when everything else was falling off, everywhere else, that house was still standing. And we can talk about the builder that started to build something and never sat down to count the cost. And then he realized it was too hard. It cost too much money. There was no way he can complete it. And so he sat in front of the building project that he had with his hands in his face, his elbows resting on his knees, frustrated, looking at what he began, but he never counted the cost. You and I need to count the cost in our relationship with Jesus. What was the cost? Nothing for us. Nothing but the surrendering of our heart, asking for forgiveness of our sin, and believing in Jesus Christ. It cost Him everything. Cost Him His life, the suffering, the pain, the anguish, the humility, stepping from the glory of heaven to a cursed earth to be beaten by people that he came to save. I mean, it's hard for us to grasp. You know, that's like saying this: I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work for somebody tomorrow, and the whole time I'm there, they're going to beat me up. And they're going to mock me, and they're going to spit at me, and they're going to throw stones at me, and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to come back tomorrow and do the same thing. And you know what? I'm never going to get paid for it. Because I'm not charging them anything. They just get to do it. But what happens is that we got forgiven of our sin. We got forgiven of every action that we've ever done, every thought that caused a problem in our life, everything that would cause us to make a decision that was improper, immoral, unjust, we were forgiven. Now again, secondly, that's really hard for us to understand, because as human beings, we got so much we can forgive till we start to think, I'll forgive, but I am never going to forget. You know, we can get on to being real fleshy if we're not careful. But Paul wanted to press. He wanted to be so dead to himself and so alive in Christ that he wanted that to become what people saw him as. He wanted to have that ability to run the race, to win. You and I, we run a race, but oftentimes I don't know if we're really running to win or if we're just running to be part. There's a difference, you know. To just, you know, go out there and jog to where you could get, you know, 5 to 7 to 10 miles in finally, and your goal to run, and you're there. Or are you running to win? I like watching the marathons. I really do. Because when I see the marathons, they always show them starting. And I see, like, literally 500 people starting to run. And those guys in the front, they start, and then little by little. So you see this wave of people. But in that crowd, there's not somebody there who's just running a wharf to wharf. There's not somebody there just running to run, to be part, or who was invited by a friend because that friend was visiting from out of state and said, hey, I'm running the wharf to wharf. Do you want to join? Okay, sure. You know, we'll just run and say, we'll just run the race. And if we get tired, we'll walk a little bit. We'll catch up. There is somebody there. And you never see that somebody till the end. That person that all of a sudden just comes out of the crowd. And he's ahead of the crowd. And you never see like two of them running neck to neck. There's always this one at the end of these marathons that is just about 100 to 200 or 300 feet ahead. Running to that line, sweating and just weary. But they have a countenance of victory. They see that goal. They didn't. They started with the group of 500. They could have been in the middle. They could have been in the end. They could have been somewhere in that group of people, whether male or female. They were there, but their determination was to win this marathon, not just run the marathon. Now, that's what Paul is saying. He says, we need to run a race as we're going to win a race. We need to surrender ourselves to Jesus and run that race to win that race. Not just run the race. Not just to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But I'm a Christian and I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm a Christian and I want to invite people to know Jesus. I'm a Christian and I want to read the Word and I want to declare the Word. And I just want to love people and help them. And whatever it takes, whatever sacrifice it takes, I'm going to do to maybe just one would be able to know more about Jesus. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm going to strain for this. I'm going to be determined to do this. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and this is what these words that I wanted to read before because I knew I'd read them now. This is what he was saying. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's that truth, that's assurance that we have, faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. This determination is set so deep within his heart. He wrote this determination by writing this next verse I'm going to read. He wrote this in such a way. He said in Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these that have already run, they're through with their race, they're there, they're in the grandstands, and they could yell out if they could. Lazarus could say, when I thought it was all over and I wasn't in the race anymore and I thought it was I was done, I never, you know, just never really got the complete. Let me tell you, he came by and brought me back into the race. Abraham and Sarah said, when we didn't have any children, when we didn't have any heritage, when we didn't have any destiny that was there, when it was impossible to have children, he came by and told us that we were going to have a child, and that child out of his loins was going to be so many people on this earth that you couldn't even count them according to the sand on the sea or the stars in the sky. Moses thought it was all over and he was just there. He did all this, and Moses would say, all of a sudden, I found myself in Pharaoh's court. I found myself a shepherd. Then all of a sudden I found myself leading 2.5 million people out to a promise that God promised them. You know, it's never over is what he's saying. This is what they would say. It's never over. Nehemiah would say, I was a cupbearer. I had a really hard job. I had to taste all the food and drink all the wine before the king, because if there was poison, I'd have to die for him. But then God called me to go to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I worked with Ezra, the governor, and we brought back all these people that left, and they had a home to come back to. I thought my race was over, but no, it had just begun. You see, what we have to understand is that we have this cloud of witnesses. And it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I love that, running with endurance. The Bible says we shall mount up as wings of eagle, Isaiah 40 and 31. We shall run and not get weary. We will walk and not faint. He will, in other words, he'll renew our strength. He'll give us strength. We'll have that. The Bible even says in that same chapter that we'll be stronger than the youth. We'll have more energy than the youth, one interpretation says it. You know, that because of what God does for us, we'll have the endurance to move forward. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I like what it says here in verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I mean, Jesus went through it. Every day they tried to imprison him, jail him, hurt him, convince him that he's wrong, convict him that he's wrong, challenge him. And sometimes he had to, when they were about to stone him, the Bible says that he walked right through them. You know, I don't know how he did it, you know, but when they were about to stone him, when they were about to beat him up, in other words, he didn't hide. He didn't run. The Bible says that he walked right through them. I'm not through with my race. So I think that's the attitude, like the Nehemiah. I'm too busy building here, this wall. I'm not coming down to you, Sanballat and Tobias. I'm not coming down to hear what you have to say. I'm too busy. You know, Moses is saying, you got to let my people go, and I'm not going to stop asking till you do it. Abraham and Sarah had the first baby, Ishmael, but it wasn't the promised baby. And then when the promise came, the joy was there for Abraham and Sarah. They saw this joy. It was there. It was clean. It was clear cut. This is what God wanted. In other words, I'm too busy. I'm not giving up. I'm not through being a Christian. I'm not through running my race. I still got more things to do for the kingdom of God, more things that I can help. I can go from faith to faith. I can go from glory to glory. I can go from being the person who is determined to being even more determined to trust in the destiny that God has given me, that I can actually come to this place and understand that I'd like to be like Abraham, knowing that I could never be him, but I'd like to have the same character and attitude that we find in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Boy, today, people don't want to be involved unless they know where they're going. What's the plan? How do you get there? You know, they want everything designed before they make the decision to be part. Well, that's how you build a company. That's certainly how you build a good, successful corporation. You have meetings, you have boards, you have directors, you have budgets, you have matching funds, you have advertising, you have marketing, you have design, and you have a product. And you put all that together and you get it all written out and you present it to the people that are most important to everything I just said to you. And their title is the investors. They want to know everything. Before they put one penny down, they want to know every detail. But when we're talking about kingdom work, and God said, I want you to get out there, I want you to go someplace, we don't say to God, can you show me the house I'm going to live in, the street that I'm going to have? You know, I can be very funny by saying this, and I don't mean it funny, but there's a lot of people that get offered a church. They want a pastor. They want to help people. But they get offered a church, and this is what they ask to the bishop. Is there a pastor's house for me? How much is the salary? And will the church help me move there? And if they don't get all the yeses, they're not going to go. You see, there's this time where when you're offered something by the Lord, whether it's to pastor a church or whether it is to do something for the Lord, you have to have faith that God has all that prepared for you. Kathy and I took our first church in Salida, California. We got saved here in Santa Cruz. We had a church in Branson 40 and Soquel Avenue, right across the street from Shopper's Corner there. 7 nights a week and Sunday morning we had church. So that means we were in church, Kathy and I, 8 days a week. We loved it. It was great. And God gave us an opportunity to go to Salida. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I mean, I was praying. My kids were even worried. They said, Mom, what's wrong with Dad? He's in there. He's just crying and travailing before God in his office. What's wrong? And she said, he's trying to find out what to do. And we accepted the position over there and we went. There was no money. There was no home. There was no promise from anybody over there that this was going to work. What we had was the go from God. The go from God. Get in the race, in other words, and run. When the first night there, and Kathy may not remember this story, but I've told it, is that I met with the church clerk, Brother Satterwhite, in the small, tiny office. In a small, tiny church, sat 60 people, 60, 75 if you pushed it, okay? And literally, he said to me, you're here, your wife, yourself, and your 4 children. There's 6 of you. We have $300 in the church account. How are we going to take care of you? My answer was this, Brother Satterwhite, I appreciate your question, but you're not. God is. And he did. We moved into the church. People became aware of the church. They started to come in from the whole town and all over Modesto to come in and be part. The church grew. We were able to rent a home after 6 months of living in the church. And we were able to take showers in a real, our own shower instead of going over to the church member's house and taking showers there. We were able to have a normal family life. Now, the first house wasn't the best house that you would want, being that it was right across the street from a dairy farm. And whenever they spread the manure, the whole house would smell of the manure because in Modesto and Salida area, they didn't have air conditioners. They had water coolers. And water coolers would spin and draw the air in, running it through cool water that would run down in front of the filters and draw that cool air into the house along with everything else. So sometimes you went home and it didn't smell good, but we were able to enjoy that home because it was the second stage. And then we got our own home across by the mall over there, and we had a beautiful home. It was a 4-bedroom home, and each of the kids, and it was just great, beautiful, and it all worked. But we never said, how much is the salary? Is there a parsonage? We had the go from God. Get into the race and win. But I want you to understand that there's a crisis of not being determined. This is what I want you to hear. Because after Abraham finished his, he went out and, you know, now where he's going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise and as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's what he was looking for, not for what men could do for him, but what God promised him. But there was this crisis that we run into of not being determined. If we're not determined, we never reach our expected goals. We never really get there unless someone hands it to us who feels sorry for us or says, hey, you know what? I see you're not there yet. You know what? Here. Come on, let me get you there. You don't have to do anything more. I'll just go take you there. Stopping and falling short of the finish line is a crisis. You know, not everybody is going to stop and pick you up. Not everybody is that type of person in Christianity. I wish there was more that would stop and help you up. But they just run right by. Like, you're not winning. You know, I'm going to go. Thirdly, losing what was to be your testimony of service. You never have that testimony to say, I've completed. Paul had a testimony. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have run the race. I think that's really important to be able to have that. I have fought the good fight of faith. Faith's a good fight. It's not like the fight that's going to be on tonight. It's already started, but the main event's at 8 o'clock tonight. Big fight. $150 million purse for one of them if they win or lose, and the other one gets millions of dollars, but not as much if he wins or loses. Tickets were only given out for a few people, and all the scalpers got tickets, and the cheapest seat was $4,000 a seat to get in there. And it's being sold on the TV networks for $99 to watch this fight. That's how much you have to pay to be able to turn it on your TV. You see, that's not going to be a good fight. That's going to be a pounding on each other. And the winner is taking all this money, which is going to be spent or invested in toys or whatever, real estate or whatever. Probably some good investments, probably some investments that mean nothing. Just joy investments. But the testimony that Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. I ran this race and I ran it to win. My race is over. In other words, I can say I've run this race. One commentator I read years ago said that in his belief, in his studies, he believed that as Paul's head was being put on the chopping block, his body was being laid there and his head over the side of that block, that the man with the axe was raising it up, and that's how Paul ended his life. His head was cut off. Was raising that axe, and Paul said this testimony, and it was written out later, that I've run the race. I fought the good fight. You see, what we have to understand is that that testimony, if we don't continue, we won't have it. Fourthly, lacking the statement of trust and obedience towards the destiny set before us. Not having that obedience to finish, or the trust that God can get us through. And sometimes it gets tough when you're really serving God. You know, I know people like to say that, you know, you go to church and everything's beautiful, everything's great, and it is, in my opinion. I think so. But I'm talking from struggle. It's great to be able to struggle. It's great to be able to suffer. It's great to be able to sacrifice. But some people say, you know, you come to church and you give and you get so much money from God as you give, and it's great and everything's fantastic, and help support my jet and help support my 5 cars, and everything is great. It's beautiful, and people buy into this program. But that's, kingdom work is not a program. It's a life. It's a life given to us and prepared for us by somebody giving his life, and that was the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, that we would have the ability to run a race. And then fifthly, having the knowledge of failure instead of the testimony of faith. Man, I tell you, I want to have the voice of praise. I want to have the voice that says that honor that we've completed, we've done. It's not just something that we can just put ahead. So here the voices would be that we would say this. We would remove those things that keep you from running with the finish line in sight. Remove those things. Get them out. That's where you could have that voice of faith and praise. By praying daily to be more like Christ. It doesn't take long to pray. You know, people think you have to pray for hours. I mean, I do, but that's just who I am. I was called to do that when I first came into the kingdom. But I'm talking about just get up in the morning and say, you know what? Today I want to be more like you, Jesus. I love you. Say the Lord's Prayer and just move on through the day. God's not up there saying, he only went 3 minutes today. Move him down the list a little bit. That one over there went an hour. Move them up. This is not this kind of competition. That's human thinking. Above all else, being determined to finish, or pressing to finish, what you have not yet apprehended, even though Christ Jesus has apprehended you. In other words, what he's saying is that I've already been, I'm saved already. He's got my heart. I'm in love. This is it. I've sold out to Jesus. But I'm not going to give up till I get more like him. So in other words, we have to understand that there's more to just being a Christian. Being willing to be more like Christ in your approach and character of your calling and obedience. When you first come into the kingdom, you don't really know how to work it out. But as you grow, and as you move, and as you read and study and pray and fast and make mistakes, you know, that's why he said when you fall 7 times, a righteous person gets up each time. You know, there is a falling. You know, you do make mistakes. You make bad decisions and you learn from them. I don't know anybody in their life that said they've always made the right decision. You know, we have to be able to just know that we can be more like Christ through our approach and character by being obedient. Fifthly, remaining steadfast against that which tries to keep you from winning. People can do that. Your own emotions can do that. Your personality traits can do that. Your weaknesses can keep you from that. You got to overcome them. You have to surrender them to Christ. You have to forgive people. You have to love people. You have to be tender-hearted. And you have to have wisdom. And the Bible says in James, if you want wisdom, ask God, but ask in faith and you'll receive it. Don't be like that person that is tossed to and fro like the wave of the sea, who looks in the mirror, says you look good, and walks away and forgets what they look like. Don't be like that person. Know who you are in Christ. See the image of Christ in your own life and move forward and having wisdom and having faith that God will take you through. 6, not counting on past victories and or titles to be your gain, but loss when you are compared to your final goal. You know, the past is over. You can't change it. Some people love the I like to watch some of these superstars on TV in the football, you know. And whenever they're talking, they always have their hand up where the Super Bowl ring is on. You know, they just can't talk like this or anything like that. They're always talking like this, you know. It's like, don't look at me, look at this. This is my claim to fame. I'll tell you, I want people to look at my heart. I want people to look at your heart. And people to say that when they look at you, they see your claim to fame, if we want to put it like that, is Jesus Christ in your heart. Is that humility and that love and that victory that he's given you. And then keeping your eye on the goal set before you. In other words, looking unto Jesus, who's the founder and perfecter of your faith. You've got to keep looking at what he has for you. I looked at that little church when we first got there. And I had to believe that I could raise my family, my wife and I, and we could pastor that church together and bring something there that was so broken. It was a really broken church. And I can only say that. It was really broken. A sordid reputation. We had to believe that we could do it and get through. And then to close, we're living in a world with so many choices and possibilities. There is always that enticement to look elsewhere instead of to the place where you were once received your calling or your destiny. Always looking elsewhere can be a weakness for us. Being determined is discipline and it's not naturally engraved in our character and personality, just as prayer and fasting are disciplines to give you strength and also dynamic faith. So is being determined to finish the race and fight the good fight of faith. There's a crown of righteousness stored up in heaven for each of us. That's what Paul said. I have a crown of righteousness stored up that he's going to receive now because he's done what he's going to do and has done it and completed it and he's been successful. He's run that race. Let yourself and those who you know never forget the beginning, but also to hold fast to the end of this high calling, that this is to be with Christ Jesus forevermore. And one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, seating at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen.